Dave and Fionnuala.
With Tesco.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
This month marks Bowel Cancer Awareness Month, and today I am joined by someone whose life changed in an instant. At just 32 years old, Claire Fagan went to hospital with what she thought was appendix pain, but instead she was diagnosed with stage 4 bowel cancer. In the space of a moment, her world was turned completely upside down. And since then, Claire has been navigating the realities of diagnosis, treatment and learning how to live with cancer. She's here to share her story and raise awareness. Claire, thank you so much for joining me once again on the show. I'm honoured to be chatting to you. Can you take me back to the start, especially as well for listeners who might be encountering this story and your story for the very first time? What symptoms were you experiencing and what made you go to the hospital?
So it's kind of like a bit of a mad story to how I got diagnosed. But initially, I failed to recover from abdominal surgery. I had had my appendix removed back in August 2024, and I kind of just never got better from that. I started to lose a lot of weight really quickly. I think between the August and when I got diagnosed in November, I probably lost near 3 stone. So it kind of fell off quite quickly. My energy levels were terrible. I'd started to experience like a really, really frequent like night sweats and things. Now all of this I was just putting down to nothing. Like, I was putting it down to, you know, either I was running really hot that day, or I was like, because I shared a bed with my partner and like men are like 1,000 degrees, I just thought that I was roasting during the night, you know, things like that. And I kind of had like a weird like feeling in my stomach. I kind of felt as if there was like something there that was like pulling all the time, like maybe it was, you know, like scar tissue or something. So it kind of got to a point where there was one day I was out trying to have a little bit of a walk, and I just couldn't get like, you know, I couldn't really kind of speed up. It took me a long time to just do what would usually take me 10 minutes. And a little old lady actually passed me on my walk, and I just said, no, Claire, something's not right. Like, there's no way you're this slow on your feet. Like, usually I'm quite fast on my feet. So I said, maybe just go to the doctor and just make sure everything's okay. So I went to my GP then a couple of days later and told her how I was feeling, and she had a quick check of my stomach, and she just said, no, I think you should go back into A&E. Like, it could be scar tissue, it could be a little infection, but we'll just kind of make sure everything is okay. And obviously after I got diagnosed, she had turned around and said, no, I did have a feeling that there was something there, but I just didn't want to scare you too much going in. So I went in to A&E that day with a letter from her, and they went through my whole history of since I'd been in with them in August with the appendix and whatever, and they kind of went through a few symptoms and asked me kind of like a few specific questions. So I was like, oh, I never got asked this before. And yeah, then they said, oh, look, we should probably do like an ultrasound and a CT scan on you just to make sure, you know, if it is scar tissue, we'll know what we're dealing with. And then that reg kind of went off and must have spoken to whoever was above her, because she came back and she said, no, we're just going to do the CT straight away. We'll get you in for that now. And brought me down, did that. That came back really quick. They said there is something there, some sort of mass. And they said, we're going to do a colonoscopy on you tomorrow morning. Because it looks like it is around like your bowel colon area, and we just want to make sure that it's okay. So they kept me in that night, did all the prep, and the next morning then they wheeled me down for the colonoscopy. And when I was in the room just having that done, you're sedated and stuff like that, but you are awake, and I was really aware of people in the room and having it done and whatever. And I just felt like the vibe in the room just change, and it just went really, really eerie. And I was like, oh, they're after finding something that they probably shouldn't be finding. And I said to the nurse, I was like, did he find something? And she just said, oh, the doctor will be around to talk to you when you're out. And I was like, no, that's not good. And they brought me back up then to the ward, and my mom was there, and I'd said to her, I was like, well, I think they found something, and she told me that I'm just stressing and I'm worrying. I was like, no, mom, I said, the vibe just wasn't great. And then a nurse came around and took a vial of blood and left really quickly. She couldn't even meet my eye. And I was like, no, that's not normal. I said, because everyone's usually really chatty when they're doing it all.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, that was a bit weird, but maybe she's just in a rush. And I was like, no, mom, I'm telling you now. I said, there's something not right. And then it wasn't even a half an hour, and the consultant who I'd been dealing with since A&E came around, and she pulled the curtain and she said, yeah, look, we found something. It's a tumour. And initially they had said it was lymphoma, just with the way I was presenting and all my symptoms and everything. But after like further investigations, they did discover that it was a form of bowel cancer that had travelled to my lymph nodes. But initially she said, like, oh no, we reckon it's lymphoma, and we're going to do surgery in a few days to remove the tumour. And then when we send that off, we'll talk treatment. So, wow. Yeah, it was just nuts.
Like, how do you even go about processing something like that? Like, thank God that your mum was with you, that you, when you got that news. But at the same time, like, what was going through your head? You're only 32 years of age. I can't imagine this was anything that would ever come into your brain.
Yeah, like, it was something I never thought going into A&E the night or two before that, like, that's what I was going in for. And I just remember when she told me, like, that was in the November, and myself and my partner were due to get married the following October. And I just turned around and I was like, I don't have time for cancer. I'm getting married in October. I don't have time to be a bald bride. And that was like the first thing. I think it was just the shock of everything. And I was just like, no, I was like, I don't have time for this. And then when she left then, and I looked at my mom, and we both just started crying, like, because it just set in then, and, like, you know, the rug just gets pulled from under you. Like, it's never anything that you think is going to come to your door.
Yeah.
It's always, like, you always hear of somebody else. It's always someone else's mom, dad, aunt, uncle, kind of, you know, an older person in their family who's diagnosed. It's never, you never think it's going to be the words that are said to you. So it's just, it does blow your mind a little bit, like, when they tell you. It's just, you're just kind of like, oh
yeah,
can't be right.
Yeah, I can't even, I'm so sorry that happened to you, because the shock of all of it as well, and going into it, and I can't imagine that was on your mind at all. Looking back to, like, the period of time, even before the appendix came out and things like that, in hindsight, had you been having any symptoms that were correlated with bowel cancer in the end?
Not, like, nothing major that I would have ever put down to, like, a cancer. I mean, even when I was starting to get, like, sick, I never suffered with my stomach or my bowels in any way, shape or form, which I thought was bizarre considering It was that cancer. I'd say, like, the night sweats, like, when I did think about it and even talk to my partner, he was like, yeah, you do sweat a lot in your sleep. You know, there would have been a few nights where I might have had to have changed a t-shirt or whatever during the night. But again, I just put that down to, I either was, like, the duvet was too heavy, or he was roasting, so I was roasting. It was never anything I thought was, like, a health issue. And then, like, weight loss, I mean, as a girl, you're nearly always trying to lose weight anyway, so if it came off a bit quicker than you expected, you're kind of like, oh geez, I must have done really well this week. But other than that, I didn't really have a lot. Like, I did have a slight lump on my neck, but that was just before my appendix issues started. So I was just like, oh, maybe I had an infection. And then obviously later down the line, they said, no, that was part of the cancer in your lymph nodes. But it was just something I kind of forgot about with the whole thing with the appendix. I was kind of like, oh yeah, right, whatever, that's a problem for another day. Other than that, though, I didn't really have any of the kind of main bowel cancer symptoms that they tell you to watch out for, like a change in your stool or blood or anything like that. I'd never suffered with anything like that.
Isn't that even, this makes the story even more strange, yeah. Because that's I imagine that you're the type of girl that if you'd had any of those more well-known symptoms to look out for, you probably would have, you know, done something about it. But it's just what's happened. It's scary. It nearly feels like a freak occurrence. That's the vibe. But since the diagnosis happened, how has your treatment been going for you?
So it's been going okay. So when I was diagnosed, they took the tumour out then, say, the following Monday. And I had to wait then about 6 weeks-ish before I could even start treatment anyway, to get over the operation. And in between then, they'd sent that all off for histology. So they got the proper diagnosis then of, it's not lymphoma, it's bowel cancer, but it's in your lymph nodes, which they also said was really strange, because usually that, if it's to spread, it usually spreads to your other organs, like your stomach and stuff. It doesn't usually go to your lymph nodes. So they were like, that's strange. And I just looked and I said, yeah, well, nothing about this has been normal, so I'm not really shocked that this is strange. But they said then that the treatment wouldn't be chemo, it'd be immunotherapy. Just that particular type of bowel cancer is quite resistant to chemo, so they were like, there's no point putting you through that if you're going to get no results. So I started the immunotherapy then in the January of 2025. And now I have to say, like, for a cancer treatment, it was okay. I managed it really well. Like, the side effects weren't near as bad as what they would have been had I been having chemotherapy. It was just a lot of fatigue, like an upset stomach kind of for the first week or so after it, and like loss of appetite and things like that. But it was nothing, like, I wasn't sick all the time, you know, I wasn't kind of in the bed for weeks on end, or thankfully didn't lose any hair or anything like that. So it was quite manageable, especially, you know, like when you are quite young, you don't really want anything that keeps you locked away in the house, yeah, or in the bed and away from people. So like in a treatment sense, it was quite, not easy, but just manageable.
It was manageable for me. What about lifestyle wise? Did you have to make any changes, you know, job, you know, social plans, things like that? I imagine that there was a lot of that involved during this time.
Yeah, no, there was. Like, I'm still out of work, sick at the moment, just like that I wouldn't have the energy to be in work at the minute. Like, the fatigue is on another level. You know, there are days where you can't lift your head off the pillow. Like, it's not just like, oh, I'm tired. It's like, no, my body is wrecked. Like, I have no energy to scratch my nose kind of tiredness. And just because your immune system is quite suppressed, like, you'd have to be really careful about who you're around. And before this, I worked actually in a GP practice as a medical secretary. So, like, they were like, Jesus, no, you can't be around any of this.
Yeah.
Do you know,
people, like, coming people in coming sick in. Yeah, the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know yourself, when you go to the doctors, it's where people are nearly at their worst. They don't cover their mouth or their nose, and you're just like, oh, sweet Jesus, like, God knows what you'd catch sitting there waiting, like,
even just on a normal day, like, never mind, yeah, in a circumstance, exactly. like you obviously at the moment, it is Bowel Cancer Awareness Month, and if there is someone, yeah, listening to this evening, what would be your advice around keeping an eye out for symptoms, or even avoiding putting off getting checked?
Yeah, I think my main advice would be to anybody is just don't ignore your body when it's trying to tell you something. Like, if it's not normal to you on a day-to-day basis like that, if you experience, you're like, geez, I've been actually really sweaty during the night, or like the weight is dropping off me and I'm not trying anything like that, just maybe talk to your GP, like, just get it checked. Like, there's no silly questions, there are no silly symptoms. Like, cancer is unique to everybody, so it's not going to you know, it's not a copy and paste of symptoms for people. Yes, there are main ones for people to look out for, but like, it's the hidden symptoms that you have to advocate for yourself and not let yourself get fobbed off. If you think something's not right, just fight for it and don't leave until they give you what you want, which is an answer basically to what's going on inside you. It might not be cancer, and I touch wood for people it's not, but there could be something else then that you're like, oh, now I know.
Yeah.
But that'd be my main advice, is to just advocate for your health, because no one else is going to do it.
What is the next step on your own journey now? What are you hoping for over the next couple of months?
So I'm just hoping that the clinical trial keeps doing what it's doing. It's still in very early like human phases. So I was actually one of the first people in Ireland to get this particular drug. And there are only a few hundred people in the world actually on it. Like, we're still in phase one of human testing. So I am just hopeful that it continues on the upward spot, like trajectory, that it keeps working, and fingers crossed it becomes a case of you go in one day and they tell you it's gone. Obviously that's a long way away, I reckon, but for the next few months it's like that. It's just to keep getting healthier and healthier, and hopefully one day kind of get back to some sort of, I'm not the sick person anymore.
Claire, I really appreciate you sharing this story with us on the in iRadio's group chat this evening. Thank you so much. If people want to follow along with you online, do you post some part of your journey on social media?
I do. I post a lot more on TikTok than I do on Instagram. Instagram I kind of keep for friends and family, but TikTok, yes, I post like a lot during the week on that. So anybody who comes along, I always welcome a new follower or a new comment, anything like that, because you never know who you can help by sharing your story.
Claire Fagan, thank you so much for joining me on the show this evening. I'm sure we will chat to you again, and wishing you all the best on the recovery journey.
Thank you so much for having me. Hey!
Dave and Fionnuala.
With Tesco.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.